You can take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read just the first four verses. And then we're going to reference back to the end of chapter 3 in the message this morning. But let's go ahead and read responsively. Actually, you know what? Forget responsively. Let's just read these four verses together. Okay? All together, all out loud. Odd and even verses this morning, okay? So the first four verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4 all together, beginning on the first verse. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So as we consider these things and continue to talk about what it's going to take to be that workman that needs not to be ashamed, what it's going to take to be a studied, knowledgeable, learned servant of God, this ought to rule our lives. How many of you, maybe on a daily basis or a weekly basis, you make it a point or you make it an intent to become a better individual? Anybody? Okay, a few people. Okay, great. You're good. I think that in every area we probably should do something like that, right? Maybe it's your health, maybe it's your character, maybe it's a skill, you know, whatever it is, maybe at your job, maybe in your home, in your family, whatever it might be, right? How many of you think maybe you're not good at it, but maybe it's a good principle to just get better with time, right? Is everybody okay with that? Okay, I think that we ought to, right? And so as a general principle, then, we should get better with time, right? As we grow and as we mature, as we learn more about the Christian life. Now listen, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me just say today can be the day of salvation for you. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today if you don't already know Him as your Savior. So, to come to Christ is the beginning of life. I've said that many times before, right? You are dead in your trespasses and sins until you become alive in Jesus Christ with Him as your Savior, okay? So life begins at salvation. And so when we get saved, that life comes into us. We are born again. We have a new life to live in Christ. And now we can grow. We begin as newborn babes. We don't know anything. We don't have the maturity, the stamina, the experience. We don't have any of those things. We're certainly not a workman. We may be a servant. We may be an employee, but we're not a skillful artificer. That comes with time. That comes with experience. That comes with training. That comes with learning and growing and maturing and all those things that we have. And certainly, a new branch or a new sprout doesn't produce fruit right away. That takes time. And so all of these things are in part of what we're doing. So as we look at these things, we've come to the end of chapter 3. So if you go back to the end of chapter 3, we see Timothy being told to continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he says, Timothy, you have a sure foundation. You know where these things come from. You know who they came from. You know that they're profitable. You know that they're sure. You know that they're true and right and just and correct. You are assured of those things. And he says in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. By the way, that's the basis of all things for us. We preach and teach here at this church that the Bible is the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. All right? So it's not traditions of men. It's not religion. It's not the things from history. It is this book that is the foundation By the way, that's why it says if we're going to be skillful, if we're going to be one that's approved, we're going to rightly divide this book, the Word of Truth. They're the Holy Scriptures. They're wise, to make us wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And it's all Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay, we talked about that last week. I'm not going to re-preach that message because I don't have time to preach two messages today to you. So, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we have the profit, the value of the Word of God in our lives as we hone as we hone our skills as workmen, as artificers, creating something, building something, designing something, manifolding something as far as what God has designed, and we're His servants. So if we're preaching, teaching, if we're doing this or doing that, we're doing all to the glory of God, right? That's what the Bible tells us. That's what we're doing in our lives. So whatever you are, a workman in this area or that area, we're to do it all to the glory of God so we can be perfect. We can be truly furnished unto all good works. Let me ask you a question. If it's a good work, who is it a work of? God. Because God is good, right? God is good, so if it's a good work, it's a work of God, who is the one that's good. So you understand that, so we're furnished, and by the way, don't you think of a skillful artificer or a workman as one who is thoroughly furnished? Or thoroughly furnished, I'm sorry, that's a different word. Thoroughly and thoroughly, they always confuse me because of the way the words are spelled. But anyways, don't you think of a skillful man, let's say it's a sculptor, okay? Don't you think of a sculptor, one who is a skillful sculptor, one that is truly furnished to do that work? Correct? I mean, that's a normal assumption. So, if we're going to be the men and women of God that we ought to be, approved unto God in His sight, we indeed need to be skillful, we need to be truly furnished by the Word of God. So as we go into chapter 4, please understand, I'll keep saying this over and over again. The chapter and verse designations are there for structure and order. Okay? It doesn't mean that Paul has stopped one thought and moving on to another thought. Alright? These are connected. And these ideas are connected. So, go back to chapter 2, where we started in January. Aha. Okay? Yes, it's taken me that long to get through this. Isn't that great? I think it's been good, though. I mean, I've enjoyed it myself. If I do have to say so myself. Look at verse 15. We started here, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we started way back here, and here, Paul is telling Timothy, he's telling him, he's giving him information, right? He's encouraging him. And he ramps it up I hope you look at his attitude as he keeps going. He tells him to study, right? He tells him to depart from iniquity, and he explains the house of God and the kingdom of God and these things, and he tells him to flee youthful lusts and to avoid foolish and unlearned questions and not strive. And then he tells him about the perilous times in the last days, and he's giving him all this information. And as he gets to chapter 4, he increases his intensity. Now, if I were to just talk to you and explain these things to you that are in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, you would probably get a sense of urgency from me. You would probably think that this was important. Everybody, right? I mean, the things that Timothy is being told, these are important things. There's a sense of urgency about them. He gives him a purpose. He says, Timothy, you've got to have these things in your life. They're important things. They're imperative things. But then when he steps up and says in chapter 4 in verse 1, and he says to Timothy, I charge you. Now, folks, and not only does it say, I charge you, Timothy, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God. And he goes on in this verse, and I want to take this to the next level, folks, because we are ending the end, we are coming to the end of another year. To another season, if you will. And if God tarries his coming, we need to ramp it up a little bit. We've been told some things. We've been maybe pushed a little bit with the urgency of some things. But maybe we need to take it to another intensity level of being charged. You know, if a police officer comes up to you and just tries to, you know, reason with you and tell you the law and tell you these things, right? He's just giving you information, or maybe he's trying to inform you about something. But if he says to you, I'm going to charge you with this, right? Did he just take it to another level? Absolutely. We have a retired police officer shaking his head over here. Yes. Because, you know, it's just information up until that point. But when you get charged, things are getting serious. Everybody okay with that? You understand what I'm talking about? So Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, I was just telling you some things before. I was just giving you some information, maybe giving you some warnings, but now I'm charging you. And I'm not just charging you, Timothy. I am charging you before God. And he doesn't stop there. I mean, he is putting the ultimate emphasis on this charge. He says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, Timothy, you are put up here in front of God Almighty, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a point of reference, a point of judgment. I am serious about this. He says, you must do this, or you are being held accountable for this. Folks, we were commended to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And that's great. We were commended to depart from iniquity and to be a vessel of honor and to flee youthful lust. But beyond those things and the warnings that were given, now Timothy is told, Timothy, you've got to preach the word. I'm charging you. That means you're going to be held accountable for this. You are going to go to trial for this. You are before God. You're before the judge. You are before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. You have got to preach the word. You've got to be instant, in season, out of season. Timothy, you must take this seriously. So today, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to let us know that not only is your pastor and the shepherd, if you will, of this church and this congregation, this flock of sheep, you must. We're being charged, not just me. We all, folks, we are in the last days. The perilous times are here. The foolish teachers are out there, and they are gathering to themselves all kinds of sheep, and we've got to stop it. And you know what? Not just the shepherd needs to stop it. The sheep need to help stop it. You heard of something called peer pressure, right? You sheep need to help the other sheep not get drawn away. Folks, we need to make this a serious understanding and a serious intent. This is no longer merely information. This is no longer merely encouragement or a simple admonition. This is a charge. We have got to study. We have got to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures to help the other sheep from not being drawn astray. We need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says we've got to do it now because the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. So, again, I want to draw some links here to the previous thoughts in 2 Timothy. Do you notice here, he says in verse 3 that they will not endure sound doctrine. Go back to verse 16. He says that the word of God that is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine. All Scripture. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. We are to live by this set of doctrine. I had the privilege of talking to somebody yesterday. I do hope that they have a chance to come to church. They said that they were born again. They gave a good testimony of a time that they had understood that they were a sinner. And they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's wonderful. And I said, what makes us different than a lot of other churches is we believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. It is perfect. It is inerrant. It is the guidebook. It is what God has for us in the English language of all the things that God... And we're going to stand on that foundation. And it's going to be what we preach and teach. It's not our opinions. It's not what we think about it. It's what it says. It's what it is. And you know what? This book is our guide. And it is sound doctrine, and it's what people need to hear. They don't need to hear stuff that makes them feel good. They don't need to hear things that I like that. Oh, no, I don't like that. No, I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care if it makes you feel good or not. It's the Word of God. It is what it is. And you and I are not the authorities that get to decide what's good and what's not. We don't get to go through and flip through the Bible and say, oh yeah, you know what? I like this verse. Oh, I don't like that one. We'll throw that one away. Oh, I like, oh yeah, this is good. No, I don't think God would do that to people. So no, I don't think, no, let's throw that away. What? Why do you get to decide what God would do or wouldn't do? Are you God? In teaching and preaching about the authority of the Bible, I often put it this way. If I wrote a letter to my wife and I put in there all the things that I wanted to say to her, and gentlemen, you can put yourselves in this situation as well. And I signed that thing and I fold it up and I put it in an envelope and I give it to somebody to give to my wife. I say, I want you to give this to my wife, please. This is a letter for her. I want her to have it. And that person opens the letter. First of all, that's probably not the wisest thing to do. And they read the letter. And they say, you know what? Let me help this guy out. He obviously has no clue about romance. Right? I'm going to give him some assistance here. So, you know, instead of saying it this way, maybe you ought to say it this way. And you know what? No, he really shouldn't have said that. Let's scratch that whole line out. Let's put something else nice in there, you know, because it wasn't nice enough. And if I find out that he altered my letter, or that person altered my letter, I am not going to be a happy camper. You know why? Because it wasn't his letter. It wasn't their business. I want to say what I want to say, and it was my letter to my wife. Don't mess with it. This is God's letter to His people. Don't mess with it. I don't care if you like how it's worded. I don't care if you think it's right or not. It is what it is. It's His letter. Leave it alone. And you know what? It doesn't need to be said better. It doesn't need to be changed. It is His word. And you know what? This is coming true already, folks. There are people heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Anybody ever had an itch? Now, those of you that know me well, you know that Poison Ivy and I are not friends. Okay? If it's even in the air, it latches onto me and it attacks me. It's despicable. Okay? But if you've had chicken pox or whatever, or just maybe irritations or allergies or poison ivy, how many of you have had that itch that won't go away? Right? And what is it about it, about an itch? You just have to keep what? You know, you're not supposed to, right? Because they tell you, don't, parents, right? Don't itch, right? You tell your kids, you wrap their hands up and stuff, you know, you're like, and even if you wrap their hands up and stuff, they're still doing that. It doesn't even matter, you know? Or how many of you haven't been able to, you can't use your hands, so you do other things, right? You're like, you know, you're like, are you, it doesn't matter what it takes. You got to itch it. Right? I mean, please tell me you've been there. Okay. I mean, it doesn't. Or you go over to somebody. Here, right there. No, down. Oh, yeah, right there. You know, you just have to. These people, they have itching ears, and they feel like they've got to scratch that itch. And Paul is telling Timothy, there is just this primal instinct that people have, that they're gathering themselves, teachers having itching ears. Sound doctrine is not enough. And they're not listening to what sound doctrine says. They say, no, it can't be that simple. It can't be that easy. It can't, salvation, no, it's gotta be, no, it just, God wouldn't, I need something else. Tell me something else. Oh, they just can't settle that's enough. Folks, God's always enough. His word's enough. Folks, we don't need new Bibles. We don't need new music. We don't need new, we've got the old paths. We've got the ancient landmarks. It's enough. The free gift of God of eternal life is enough. You may not think it is, but it's enough. Why? Because God said so. And Paul is charging Timothy. He says, Timothy, you are now charged. We're not just talking. We're not just having a conversation. I'm not just informing you. I am charging you to preach the word. He says, first of all, reprove. The word reprove means to convince, convict, and admonish. So as Paul goes, he says, look, Timothy, the word of God that you're supposed to be rightly dividing, that you're supposed to be skillful in using, that you're supposed to be one who knows, who is truly furnished with the word of God. You're not a babe in the scriptures. You're a grown adult. You're devouring meat. You are one who is learned. You've known it from a kid. You've been assured of it. You've known who you've learned it from. You have salvation in Christ Jesus, and you're the man of God, truly furnished unto all good works. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, admonish, convince, convict. In Proverbs 19, the Bible says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So he says, admonish, convince them, convict them. What was it that in the parables, remember the master had prepared the great feast for the wedding, right? And they were supposed to go out and do what? Invite these people to come into the wedding, right? And at the end, they're supposed to go to the highways and hedges and do what? Compel them. Convince them. God, make them come. Make them understand. Make them know. By the way, how can you make somebody know something you don't know yourself? You can't. That's why you have to study to show yourselves approved unto God. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Wouldn't it be shameful if you couldn't explain something to somebody from something to someone from the scriptures? Yeah. And you know what, that sometimes I've had to learn in my life, the best answer you can give is, I don't know, but I'll study it out. I don't know, but I'll look into it. Right? That's better than making up something. But we've got to study, because we've been charged to preach the word. We are the ones that are supposed to help these people, because they have teachers, or they have itching ears, and they're heaping to themselves teachers, and they're going to be turned away from the truth. They're going to be turned not just away from the truth, but unto fables. Take your Bibles and turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I don't know when I'm going to learn. I'm going to keep trying. But I just got into point number one. I hope you understand that. The rest of it was all introduction. Look at verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them. Now listen to this. I love how Solomon writes this, because it's how we are, folks. If we don't do this, we're going to fail. He says, bind them what? Continually. Folks, we've got to continue. Isn't that what we learned last week? Continue thou in the things. Solomon says, bind them continually. Why should we bind them continually? So that we do not forsake them, and we do not let them slip or get away. We keep them. Anyways, he goes on and says, bind them continually upon thine heart. What is our heart? That is the ruling place, right, of our life. It's the throne. And by the way, what should we be governed by? Our Father's commandments. We should be governed by the Word of God. It is what is to govern us. And it should be continually bound in our hearts. Bind them continually upon thine heart. I love this. Tie them about thy neck. Maybe we should start a new trend. Instead of neckties, let's have Bible verse ties. You know, I mean, right? We could just bind the Bible around our neck, you know? We put these silly things on that look cute and all. I guess they do. I don't know. I think they're a nuisance. But you know what? If it's bound about your neck, it's always right in front of you, isn't it? It's the proverbial carrot in front of the horse, you know? It's always right there. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. That's amazing, isn't it? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Wow. Hey, do you have a relationship with the Word of God like that? A workman does. One who's been charged to preach the Word does. One who's serious about the last days and the perilous times and the teachers and the false teachers and the people that are turning away from the truth and sound doctrine. Oh boy. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Listen to this. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Can I tell you something? Solomon uses this illustration many times in the Proverbs. He's talking about seduction. He's talking about alluring away. Remember, Timothy is being told about these people that have itching ears, and they've got to satisfy that itch. And folks, we've got to be aware that the devil knows what makes us itch, and he knows how to relieve it, if you will. And he's trying to seduce us. He's trying to lure us away. Remember, the snares of the devil are there to trap us in. You know, Saturday was opening season for hunting, deer hunting, and I love the little signs these little memes that I see on the internet or whatever. And there are certain places where you're not allowed to put out corn to attract the deer, to draw them in, to be able to get them. So these people put up these little signs that says, this corn is for the squirrels and birds. Any deer caught eating this corn will be immediately shot. I love that. I think it's hilarious. Okay. Anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, lures, snares. They're meant to draw you in. It's meant to get you there. Folks, listen to me. In this day and time, there are a lot of Christian teachers out there, and the stuff that they're saying sounds good. Watch out. Beware. Be like the Bereans, who are more noble than those in Thessalonica, who searched the scriptures whether those things were so. But folks, we have been charged to reprove, to admonish, to convince them. Hey, the word of God is enough. The word of God is right. The scriptures, the doctrines, sound doctrines, these things that are true, they've been proven. You know who you've heard them from. You've been assured of them. You've known of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. They're not different. They haven't changed. This is a sure foundation to build your life on. Please. That's reproof. Take your Bibles and go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Just a few pages over from our text verse. Look at verse 1. Now we're going to kind of go through a lot of this chapter here, but let me just start here. We're talking about admonishing, convincing, convicting, bringing attention, because now is more imperative than ever to bring attention to these things. Because we're not just talking about it, we're now being charged to preach the word, to reprove, to convince them, to compel them, to admonish them, to convict them, to say, you must do these things too. Paul tells the Ephesians, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Is that good? That's good. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So this is great, right? So Paul is telling the Ephesians, I'm admonishing you, I'm trying to convince you, I'm trying to convict you to walk a certain way, to follow a certain path. This is what you need to do. And then he says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There's that word again. We need to make sure that we're convincing people there's a way to walk in the Spirit, and there's a way to walk in the flesh, and we should walk in the Spirit and not in the darkness and in the flesh. We need to convince people that it's the right thing to do to walk as dear children of God, as followers of God. And that it's not good to walk in the ways of the world. We have to convince them that the world is bad and God is good. We have to compel them. And guess how we do that? We can do that by walking in the world with them and say, look, see, we shouldn't be over here doing this. Is that how we do it? No, we need to stand over here where it is right and say, hey, come, stop walking over there. Come walk over here. In the light. In the right path. Folks, we've got to do a better job convincing people. Convicting people, compelling people to walk in the way that they should walk. Listen to this. He continues in chapter 5 here, in the book of Ephesians. Look at verse 14. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Folks, what's the will of the Lord? That we walk in the light. That we walk as followers of God, as those that ought to be what we ought to be for Christ. And we are all charged to do so. It's not just a request. It's not just information. It is a charge from God to live this way, to preach the word, to be earnest in admonishing, convincing, and convicting them, to reprove those who would not do this thing or live this way. Now, go over to John 16. We have some help. How many of you like help? Help is good, right? So, when as you're turning to John 16, we, as human beings, are born into sin. We have a sin nature. We're condemned already in our trespasses and sins, and we need salvation. So we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're born into the family of God. We become a new creature in Christ, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have been born again. We have salvation in Christ, and we learn to grow. We're babes. We're growing and maturing. We're becoming productive, mature, fruit-bearing adults in Christ, if you will. Right? So we have this process that we go through. And I want you, but we don't have to do it alone. As soon as we are born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes in to help us. Right? So, please understand, look at what Jesus says about the Comforter. In verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will do what? Reprove the world of sin. Now listen, what does Paul tell Timothy to do? Reprove. The Christian is supposed to reprove. The Holy Spirit of God is sent to reprove. So the Christian has the Holy Spirit of God in him or her. So we both get to do what? Yeah. We have a helper. We have something that's been given to us in us that's designed to do this very thing, to complete the charge. He says, Timothy, reprove. Preach the word, reprove. Be as a workman, this is the job you're supposed to accomplish. Convince them, convict them, admonish them. And guess what? The Holy Spirit of God is in you doing the same thing. Look at this. Reprove the world of sin, because they believe not on me. Well, let's see here. They're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, right? They're believing fables. They're fleeing from the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So they're leaving Christ and going unto an antichrist.
A false Christ.
He says, because they believe not on me, of righteousness. Let's see here. Back in 2 Timothy, it says here that the scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof. There's that word again. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us to help us to reprove. One more passage of scripture. Go to Proverbs 1. We'll end here today. Proverbs 1 is a wonderful proverb. If you don't already, I would encourage you to go ahead and read a proverb a day. Kind of goes with the calendar, you know. But Proverbs, today you could read Proverbs 1 and 2, because if you didn't read it yesterday, you can read 1 and 2 today. Look at Proverbs 1 here. Look at verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. Wisdom, is that a good thing? Wisdom? Yeah, I think so. She uttereth with her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my, what? Reproof. What are we supposed to do? Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season? Reprove. Reprove. Wisdom's crying in the chief place of the concourse. She's crying in the streets. She's uttering a voice. And she's saying, how long? Turn you at my reproof. And folks, we've got to get out there and preach the word. We must convince them. How convincing are you? You know what? In order to convince someone, you've got to speak up. You've got to do something, if you will, outlandish perhaps, to get their attention. Right? Am I right about that? I mean, how many of you have had children that won't speak up? I have a few of those children. Now, I have some children I can't get to shut up. But that's okay too, right? Because they're like just like me. But you know what? There are some of my kids that they won't speak. They mumble. I'm like, especially boys. I mean, oh boy. Speak up. Be heard. And let me tell you something. Timothy's being told, son, be heard. Hey, Christians today, Lighthouse Baptist Church today, be heard. Speak up. You've got to convince them. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Hey, someone that wants to be heard, someone that wants to convince someone of something, will be heard. And you know what? If we want our country back, folks, we've got to be heard. We've got to reprove. We've got to speak up and convince them of these truths. You're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you, wanting and needing to accomplish the same thing, because that's what He's designed for. And guess what, Christian? That's what you're designed for. Cry out. He says, because I have, wisdom says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. When they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Folks, we don't want the end of that for those people. That's why we've got to try. We've got to take it as our personal, we've been personal responsibility. We've been charged to reprove, to convince, to convict. Maybe we just need to raise our voice a little bit to be heard. Or maybe we just need to open our mouth in the first place. But whatever the case may be, we must preach the word. Must be a skillful artificer that cares about this charge that we've been given.